Go ahead, please, and turn to Acts chapter 16. Tonight we're going to take a journey through Scripture. We're going to look at several passages, not lengthy passages, but there's a reason and a purpose for this. And it's going to be a little bit of, I guess you could say history. In Acts chapter 16, we'll begin reading here in a moment. I'm hoping that every one of you in here wants to be used by God. Now, you may have ideas in your mind about how God will use you, or maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you just, God, I want to be used. Don't know how, but I just want to be used. Or maybe you, God, I want to be used, and I'd like you to use me in whatever. But the prayer really should be like Jesus, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So I'm hoping every one of you in here wants to be used by God. One of the things that kind of goes along with that is, I call it false humility. God, I want to serve you. I want to be used by you, but you know, I don't need fame or fortune. It's like, okay, well, I understand that you don't want pride to get involved. But you know, you ought to want a reputation of somebody who lives for Jesus and does not compromise. That should be your story that goes before you. And along with that, should the day come that, say, the gifts of the Spirit, the demonstrations of God's power begin to move through you, people are going to know who you are. Word will get out. And eventually, who knows? I mean, there could be a lot of fame. That's what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. He was a plumber. And he starts serving God. But then God uses him and he starts ministering to people, like standing up in a pulpit and teaching. But then he starts ministering to people. Healings and miracles start taking place. And from what I read, he was not the most eloquent speaker. He had a rather hackney accent. He was, you know, from England. And kind of had a stern delivery, I guess. So his fame wasn't about his abilities at the pulpit. It was more about how that people would get healed and miracles, raise the dead. Well, word spread so much that, you know, he began traveling. Well, the same thing could happen to you. You know, I'm not saying it will, but what I'm saying is, don't create a subconscious barrier where you're saying, God, I'll go that far, but that's it. God, I don't like to travel. Okay, I'm sorry, but that doesn't cut it. God, I will travel if you want me to. Help me to like it. In other words, don't put limitations on this, but at the same time, be willing and do what's necessary to prepare. Not for travel, just to be ready, you know, instant, in season and out. To be ready for whenever God wants to use you. Our responsibility is to press into God. When I'm, you know, I'm raised in church and was born again. Then I walked away from God for a few years, came back to Him. I had no intentions of preaching, not at all. But as I continued to seek God, eventually that calling began to develop on the inside of me. And I pursued it. And at the time, I really wasn't sure how it was all going to work out. I mean, I eventually started having my own ideas. You have to be open to what God wants. You just keep pressing in. Well, in Acts chapter 16, in verse 1, then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Okay, so Paul goes to Derbe, to Lystra, and there's a guy there named Timothy. Now, he's younger than Paul, and I didn't look up any age or anything like that, but he's younger than Paul. And there were those believers at Lystra and Iconium that talked to Paul about Timothy. Now, the one thing I can tell you is that Timothy didn't go to them and say, "Hey, would you put in a good word for me? When the service is over, could you get me in the back room so that I can meet him?" That stuff goes on. Well, Paul heard about him. And from what we know about Paul, he does not just act. You know, he's somebody who wants to be led of God. And there was something about what they told him about Timothy that got Paul curious. So he would have sat down and spoken with Timothy. And I have no idea how much time he spent with Timothy, but eventually it got to the point of verse 3. Paul asked him, "Would you like to travel with me as I go about ministering?" Now, I don't know about you, but I can just imagine Timothy having one of those, "You got to be kidding me," moments. "You want me to travel with you? Well, okay. I mean, I'd be more than..." You know how today, maybe you've heard of this, but there's this armor bearer thing in the body of Christ. And I kind of encountered that when I was over in Kenya. You know, whenever I would go to minister, I always had like this really small, like a computer bag. Now I'd have my laptop. I never left my laptop out of my sight. Never. Not back in the room. I mean, it was always with me. My Bible was in there. My little recorder that I would use when I would teach, it was always in there. Always had that with me. Well, somebody wanted to carry it for me all the time. "Here, I want to carry that for you." I'm like, "No." "No. Yes, yes. You have to. Because if you don't, it's a big insult. You know, we have to..." And I can remember one service. I try my best to be very smiley-faced about this. And I said, "You know, I don't need anybody carrying my stuff. I understand, you know, it's a cultural thing. But believe me, I can carry my own. I don't need people doing for me." Because there are a lot of preachers out there, that's what they want, to make them look good. You know, "Here, you can be my armor bearer. What an honor for you." Like, "No, I'll do it myself." Well, anyway, maybe Timothy thought that's all it was for him. Just somebody to help carry the luggage and cook dinner, whatever. So, Paul, and Timothy, you know, he's got a mom and dad, so he had to go and talk to them about this. You know, "Mom, Dad, Paul, he's asked me to travel with him in ministry." Well, apparently there was an agreement. Mom and Dad, there's nothing in Scripture that indicates, like, "What? You can't... Who do you... What?" Apparently they were in favor of it. So Timothy leaves, and he goes with Paul. And it says in verse 4 that they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now this verse 4... This verse 4 covers a huge amount of time. This is a synopsis of what happened from that point on. So let's take a look at what happened from that point on. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again, we're not going to be reading a whole lot of verses in all of these passages we turn to, a verse or two, but we want to see something, a pattern in this. In Acts chapter 16, we just read about Paul asking Timothy to go with him. Now that took place somewhere around 48 or 49 A.D. So now here we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what do we see? We see that Paul is traveling with Silvanus and Timothy, and there may have been others with him, but we want to focus on Timothy. Now, 1 Thessalonians was written around 50 to 51 A.D. So this is roughly two plus years after Timothy started traveling with Paul. Now turn to Acts chapter 17. Now the dates that I'm giving you in all of these, they are rough estimates. You can look at different writings of various Bible historians, and they may give you, you know, different years, just, you know, a little off here and there. But so these are generalizations. So Acts chapter 16, Paul and Timothy meet, and this is about 48 or 49 A.D. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul is with Timothy writing this letter, and this took place around 50 to 51 A.D. Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. All right? This right here, Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 15, what we just read took place right about 51, sometime in 51 A.D. Now look in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and, well, just chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost identical to what he wrote in 1 Thessalonians. But this, right here in 2 Thessalonians, took place sometime around the latter part of 51 A.D., the early part of 52 A.D. Now we look over in Acts chapter 18. Now there is a point to all this, and we'll eventually get there. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Okay, now this took place right sometime, maybe toward the mid part of 52 A.D. Now remember, Paul met Timothy, it was 48, 49 A.D. Now we look in Acts chapter 19 and just go to verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. This took place toward the end of 52 A.D. Now turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me, for this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now this took place somewhere around the latter part of 53 A.D. or early part of 54 A.D. So now what's happened to this? Timothy has been traveling with Paul, and it's now to the point to where Paul is convinced that Timothy knows everything that I know. And he knows what I teach in every church where I go. So, I'm sending him to the Corinthians while I stay here, and he's going to be able to teach them the same way I would teach them. So, in roughly, say, 6 years, Timothy has gotten to this point to where Paul is comfortable sending him off to minister to a church that desperately needed help. Now look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and let's just go to verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy of Asia, and Tychicus and Trophimus. These, going before, tarried for us at Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. This took place the end of 54 A.D. and the early part of 55 A.D. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. This, when he wrote this, it was about 55, latter part of 55 A.D., early part of 56 A.D. Now go over to Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my workfellow, and Lucius and Jason, and so Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. This was about, this was in the latter part of 56 A.D. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. Some of you probably didn't realize Timothy was mentioned so many times in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So again, we see Timothy is still traveling with Paul. And this took place sometime in 60 A.D. Now in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. This took place right about 61 A.D. And go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy. Now, 1 Timothy was a letter that the apostle wrote in early to mid 66 A.D. And it was several months later, the latter part of 66 A.D., that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. Now here's what's happened. Timothy has been traveling with Paul for, well, roughly 18 years. And as he's been traveling with Paul, there are times when Paul was in prison. And apparently Timothy maybe stayed in the same town where Paul was imprisoned. But also Timothy traveled with Paul where Paul went. Sometimes Timothy was in one city, Paul was in another, but they always eventually got back together and continued on serving the Lord. Now, all these times that Timothy was traveling with Paul, what do you think was going on? Well, probably the same kind of thing that was going on when the apostles were traveling with Jesus. Sitting around the campfire at night, talking about the Lord. Paul, tell me again about when you were caught up to the third heaven. Tell me again, you know, about that voice. Tell me again everything that you heard. Yeah, I know you've told me 50 million times. Okay, I just want to hear it again. Just, it's so exciting. And not only would Paul continue to share with Timothy about his own life and how God was using him, but Timothy also heard what Paul taught over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because when Paul told the Corinthians, I'm sending Timothy to you, because he's going to be able to teach to you the same things that I teach in every church where I minister. Now you understand, when we go through and read the book of Acts and it talks about this church here and that church there, Paul ministered to more people groups than just five or six churches. A whole lot more. So then here's Timothy, and Paul is teaching. Okay, remember what Paul wrote to the first Corinthians, chapter 14 about tongues? Well, actually 12, 13, and 14 about the gifts of the Spirit, about tongues, about praying in tongues, and so forth. Paul taught that every church. Everywhere he went, Paul taught that. So now here's Timothy. And they're getting ready to have the service in Ephesus. Timothy didn't have to wonder what's Paul going to teach on. He knew. He's either going to be teaching on the new man created after God in righteousness and true holiness, or he's going to be teaching, you know, about tongues, praying in tongues. Timothy heard these messages over and over and over again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Timothy never got bored hearing Paul teach. Never. I've heard about tongues every night for the last 8 months. I can't take it. Tongues, tongues, tongues. No, that never happened. Paul, don't you know anything else but tongues? There's some people that kind of thought that about Pastor Dave Roberson. Timothy never got bored. You say, well, how do you know Timothy never got bored? Because 2 Timothy is the last book that Paul wrote. And as you read through 2 Timothy, basically, Paul is saying, well, Timothy, the time has come, and I know I'm going to die. I'm passing this on to you. You take this and run with it. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See that? Paul is handing, if you will, the ministry over to Timothy. And he's saying, you take what you've learned from me and then you teach other people, especially people who are faithful, and they're going to be able to carry on beyond you. They'll be able to teach others also. See, this is how I know that Timothy never got bored hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Instead of being bored, what it did was reinforce to him what he was hearing. And that's the way it was, like for me, with Pastor Dave Roberson. I never, ever, ever got bored hearing him teach from Romans chapter 8. Never, ever. Some people, I don't know, I kind of had the impression that they got bored with it. I didn't, ever. Because it just continually reinforced to me what I was hearing, continually reinforced to me what was recorded in the Word of God. I can remember there was a pastor, the Lord had him teaching on mortification. You know, mortify the flesh, and the life of God comes forth, and so on and so forth. And he had taught on it for a while, and somebody came up to him one time after service and said, when are you going to, teach on something other than mortification? And the pastor said, well, when you start doing it, then I'll teach on something else. The moment you get bored hearing truth is the moment you've just identified you are not preparing for what God wants to do in your life. Truth should never, ever be boring. Ever. I'm so tired of hearing about the new man, the new man, the new nature. I'm so tired. Hey, the moment you get bored hearing truth is the moment that hopefully you'll recognize you've got a problem. Because truth should never, ever be boring. See, I know that I could sit in a conference 3 services a day and hear teaching about the new nature. A whole week, 15 services, people teaching about the new nature. I wouldn't get bored. No, I know I wouldn't. Oh, you're just saying that because, that's what you have to say. No, I'm saying that because it's true. It reinforces to me what God wants me to know. We cannot afford to get bored with truth, no matter what it is. If you get bored hearing teaching about tongues, teaching about tongues. If you get bored, you know what? That's because you're not doing it. Because the more you do it, the more what it does for you, in you, and through you begins to transpire. And that's going to be exciting because that's what you say you want. I want the change. I want to experience. I want more of God. Okay, well, here's a way to be walking on that path. All I hear, preaching on tongues. Boy, Pastor Jim, that's all. In fact, I actually had somebody say that to me once. Somebody who attended this church for a little bit. And I saw this person here a while back. They haven't been here in a long time. Hey, how's church going? Oh, things going okay. He said, you still teaching about tongues? said, well, yeah, I mean, sometimes he goes, yeah, well, you know, that seemed to be the thing about your preaching in your church. And, well, obviously it made an impression. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to say any more about that. You all chuckled. You get it. You know what I'm saying. When you're doing what God says to do and you're getting the results, you're not going to get bored hearing more teaching about it. It's going to encourage you. This is all about, this is all about our preparing for God to use us. Just like Timothy was with Paul, you know, for about 18 years. And then the day came, Paul writes him a letter and basically is saying, I'm going to go on and be with Jesus. Son, it's yours. Take it from here. Well, Timothy was ready. I mean, after 18 years, it wasn't just that he could preach and teach everything that Paul preached and taught, but now to be like, you might say, the focal point of the ministry, Timothy was ready. But this is an example for us. Preparation requires diligence. And if we're not diligent like Timothy, why should we expect God to, you know, start using us the way we want Him to use us? Now, I'm not saying that you quit your job and you come and you move in with me, because that ain't happening, okay? Yeah. And I got a witness right here on the front row that... But if you put into practice what we're hearing, this is a part of the diligence. And it's a part of the preparation. If we don't do it... Now look, this applies to me too, because if I don't do what I know to do, then it's going to be pretty difficult for God to want to... I'll say it like this, you know, take me to the next level of Him using me. This principle applies to everybody. We have to do this. And this is why I wanted to share with you, you know, basically the summary of 18 years of Timothy's life. How that he was faithful. And he didn't get bored. He went through the tough times, he went through the good times. He saw the good, the bad, and the ugly in a lot of people. But he never turned and left. Never. He stayed true with Paul. And if Paul needed him to go here, go, he did it. He did it. But he applied what he heard. And this is a key. He applied what he heard. So how do you know? Because there's no way Paul would have written this letter, 2 Timothy, what we just read to Timothy, if Timothy had not been doing what he heard. Now I'm sharing all this to encourage you. You're not wasting your time. The preparation is taking place on the inside. The promotion, whatever that means for each person, it will come. But we have to think about all the time that Timothy spent praying, seeking God, how many years until the time that people spoke so highly of him that the Apostle Paul said, would you like to travel with me? How many years did Timothy spend pressing into God as much as he knew how to press into God? In preparation for that day that God confirmed to Paul, have Timothy travel with you. Think about this. It's the same thing for all of us. And I'm not saying a preacher's going to come along and say, hey, why don't you travel with me? No. It is all about being ready for God to use us when He wants to. So folks, listen, be encouraged. You're not wasting your time. And even though you don't sometimes, you know, feel God moving in your prayers, He is. He is moving. And He's going to work in you as much as we allow Him in preparation for what He wants to do next. God wants to use you. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to spend 15 minutes doing what?
Praying.
That's right, praying. Hallelujah. And I'll come back up and we'll close out at that time. You know, a few moments ago, I shared how that I could listen to teaching on the new nature, you know, for a whole week. And the fact that it's truth would be a blessing. You know, I wouldn't get bored. I'll even go so far as to say, I could sit in a Baptist church and listen to a Baptist pastor who does not believe in speaking in tongues, but delivers a message about you're lost, you need Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. Truth is truth. And truth should resonate with who you are in Christ. I won't get bored with truth. Glory to God.